Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is the Reverend Frederick Weimert, who is Vice President of the Central Maryland Ecumenical Council. And Reverend Fred is here today to talk to us about the Central Maryland Ecumenical Council's efforts to get folks together, as well as anti-Semitism, which unfortunately is always in the news. So, Reverend Fred, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Bill. It's nice to be here today.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming. I know you're very busy. I know you're very busy trying to do the Lord's work, and we do appreciate it.
Well, I somehow retired, so I'm not. I just have bored things I do.
But you do a lot of it, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the council?
The Central Maryland Ecumenical Council is an outgrowth of the old Council of Churches. It's been here in Maryland, I think, since the 1920s or 30s. And it is an organization that tries to bring together the Christian faith so that there is one voice that speaks for at least more of the mainline tradition, the older mainline tradition. So. And the Catholic Church has been, for a long time, been a part of it here in Baltimore, which it isn't always in other cities.
Great. So, what denominations are currently?
Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, Disciples of Christ. There's about four or five others.
I know. You can just check the website.
Yeah, you can check the website, and you can find out all the names of the organizations that are part of it.
Great. And the website is?
It is cmecouncil.org.
So that's cmecouncil.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Thank you. And tell us a little bit about your ministry.
For 36 years, I was the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Towson. Mm-hmm. And during that time frame, I did a lot with homelessness in the Baltimore County area, and I'm still serving on the board of the Assistance Center of Towson Churches, and I'm serving on the board of the Community Assistance Network, which is the community action agency for Baltimore County, and they run the shelters, the two freezing weather shelters in Baltimore County.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about anti-Semitism. I know it's something that has not gone away, and it seems that lately it's gotten worse.
No, it goes back a long time in history. Even before Christianity, there were people that, you know, because of politics and political things, they were there were border disputes between, you know, the Assyrians and the Hittites and the Egyptians, and Israel would be involved in those. I don't know that I would call that today what we call anti-Semitism. But since Christianity came into being, there's been a division. Mm-hmm. Division we sometimes see in Scripture, the changing nature of faith. Paul the Apostle in the book of Thessalonians talks about Jewish people as the people who killed Christ, but then when he talks in Romans, in the 11th chapter, he speaks of the promise of God to Israel as being irrevocable, and therefore they are always the children of God. So it is, it's confusing. Paul is very confusing. At times he does things he always goes to synagogue, and that's where he begins his ministry frequently in communities you see in the book of Acts.
Right.
Also in the book of Acts, you can see him going to the temple to burn his hair that he cut off in Ephesus as an offering, which is something which would be so bizarre to us and so something that would be so foreign to Christianity today. So obviously, his practice of Judaism was still very much a part of his life. And yet he was a Christian. John's gospel is probably the most difficult of all of the gospels for us to deal with because it was written at the time late in the first century when Christianity and Judaism had separated. It's the only gospel that uses the words that they'll throw you out of the temple, you know, apo synagoge. But it's and it's used three times there. The blind man's parents are concerned about being thrown out of the synagogue, and so they don't talk about Jesus as the Messiah. So, I mean, it is an interesting book. It's obviously shaped by the time that it was written in. But after that, in the time of Chrysostom and the early church fathers, Marcion and some of the others really had a sincere dislike for Judaism. I think that many early Christians continued to go to synagogue for certain festivals and for mm-hmm. certain activities, probably uh-huh. for circumcision, for naming, and some other things like that. They would go to a synagogue, and then they'd go to the church at the same time. And I think the church leaders were concerned about losing followers. Even up to Martin Luther, when Luther wrote his books about the lies of the Jews, if you look at the things that he talked about doing, he talked about burning the synagogues, destroying their homes, not allowing their rabbis to teach. You know, he said some of the same things that Hitler was doing in the 1930s. And so, I mean, it has a long history in Christianity. Augustine was not always positive about Jewish people. He wrote about Psalm 59, and if you take a look there, it talks about, you know, not killing them, but it goes on to say, you know, that these people should suffer because they're our enemies, even though it's a Jewish book. And it's, you know, they were talking about other enemies at that time when the text was written. Yeah. And certainly they weren't writing about Jewish people. So, I mean, we have used many scriptures to validate a feeling that we have that these people are different. And since we hold some of the same text in common, that they must be interpreting them incorrectly while we can interpret them correctly. And that's always a problem with people who share some tradition together. I mean, we in America speak about the Judeo-Christian tradition, right, our heritage, but we certainly de-emphasize the Judeo end of it. We don't look at Jewish people as major contributors to our country. I mean, the state of Maryland, for a long time, you had to be a Trinitarian to hold office. So you had to be a Christian to hold office in Maryland until the 1800s.
I guess that was virtually true as a presidency.
Oh, yeah. Probably the same thing.
It still is in some ways.
Yeah. It just is. We have a long history in America of dealing with Jewish people in unfavorable ways as well. You know, you had Father Coughlin during the 1930s, and you know, there just has been, I think, in all of our traditions, we grow up with an idea of what Jewish people look like, who they are. I'll never forget a friend of mine talked about her husband going to a synagogue in Japan, and everybody was Japanese. And after the service, somebody came up to him and said, "Are you Jewish?" And he said, and I'm sure he looked like very much an Eastern European Jewish person. He uh-huh. said, "Yes." And he said, "Hey, it's funny, you don't look Jewish." His whole exposure had been Japanese Jewish people.
That's right.
And there are, you know, Sephardic people from Spain that are Jewish. And I'll never forget some young people from Ashkelon, our sister city in Israel, Baltimore sister city, came over. And I was talking with those young people. There were 19 young people. Only one of them was a European-looking Jewish person. The rest all were Middle Eastern. You know, they were all probably from Iraq and Iran and moved back to Israel. They all look like Palestinians to me, but they were all Jewish young people. So, I mean, it's, you know, we have to be careful because we think stereotypically of people, and it's never a positive thing.
Yeah, whether it's regarding religion or whether it's regarding race.
Yes.
Whether it's regarding ethnicity.
Yes.
We all have these stereotypes.
Yeah.
That unfortunately seem to be coming from our fear of the other.
Yes, yes, it is definitely from the fear of the other. And the situation that have happened most recently in Pittsburgh has been a very traumatic
horror.
Yeah, it's a horror. I don't think that, I mean, things like this happen in an instant, in a moment, in a person, you know, a person goes off the rail and does something, but it's years and years of conditioning that these people are not the same as us, that they don't deserve the same things we do. And that, you know, feeds the kind of sickness that causes these horrors to happen.
Yeah. And it also, you were citing various biblical verses mm-hmm. in support of this kind of negativism, but there are also a number of biblical verses that talk about good neighbors.
Yes.
Talk about
absolutely.
Treating other people as the same.
Yes.
And so it's in some ways, when somebody says there's a biblical justification for something, they're simply cherry picking.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean, the story of the Good Samaritan was told because Jesus's audience didn't like Samaritans, who are Jewish people that had intermarried with people in the Canaanite country, and you weren't looked at as pure by some of the other people within Judah. But the reality is, it's true. It's just as true today for Jewish people, for us as Christians, that
right.
there are tremendously good people,
right.
and that some of my favorite professors have been rabbis that I've learned so much from in growing up.
It's difficult, really, to be a thoughtful Christian without being a thoughtful Jew at the same time, isn't it?
I think so many of our traditions are founded on the Jewish scriptures, and we have overlaid them with things. I mean, like the communion celebration, we talk about the Passover meal frequently, when we get to Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's very much like the Sabbath. The meal that people would have at home at Sabbath, they would drink wine, they would eat bread,
mm-hmm.
and they would say prayers. And it is very similar to that for us. And certainly we remember, for us, Jesus's death and his death, which is atoning for us. It brings us into oneness with God, but it should also bring us into oneness with our neighbors and not make them our enemies.
Absolutely. Let's talk about, in the remaining couple minutes of the show, let's talk about what we all can do to make this situation better.
I think it's very important for us to be present for each other. I went to a service that was at Baltimore Hebrew right after the situation in the slaughter in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
and I went because many people, because I know a lot of people in the Jewish community, because I'm from Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, and I wanted that presence to be there for them, to help them know that there are people in this community that don't feel like this individual, who love them and care about them being able to worship as they choose to worship. And I know many more of those things are going on right now because of what Pittsburgh has meant to us as a country. There are many services going on. Now, if you went to the Baltimore Jewish Council's website, BJC, I think it's probably bjc.org,
probably.
You would find many of those things listed. In early November also was Kristallnacht, which is the remembrance of the burning of the synagogues in Germany,
right.
And they always have services in relationship to that. So there are times of the year when it is good to go and to be with our fellow people of faith. They may not be, they're not Christians, and we're not Jews, but it is important for us to be together to celebrate the fact that we worship God, and we also do that by serving and caring for our neighbors.
Absolutely. So a good step for folks would be to go on the Baltimore Jewish Council's website and see what's going on and go there, as well as to educate ourselves more about the right and the wrong here,
yes.
morally, and the right and the wrong about what we are saying and what we are doing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Reverend Fred, that's all we have time for today. Could you please give us that contact information one more time for the Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, please?
The best way to contact them would be to go through the website, which is cmeconcil.org, CME Council.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, living in Baltimore, we are out of time. I want to thank our guests, the Reverend Fred Weimert, who's vice president of the Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, for being our guest today. Thank you, Reverend Fred.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Okay, thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.